You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is David Morrison of the Columbia Daily Tribune. How are you doing today, David?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's clearly became winter in Utah, so it's a little chilly.
Yeah, it's been that way around here, too. It's been windy and in the 40s over the past couple of days. So, yeah, I think fall is transitioning.
Yeah, it definitely is. And the great thing about fall transitioning to winter is we've got some really meaningful football games coming up this month. One that BYU fans have been looking forward to is this game against Mizzou this coming weekend. The whole idea of this interview is to give BYU a glimpse at what things are looking like from the Mizzou sidelines. And so to start off, I was kind of wondering if you can give us an idea of what expectations were for Mizzou coming into this year and where the team's, where the team stands in meeting those expectations.
Yeah, I think coming into the year, most people thought that this was a team that maybe they wouldn't win their third straight SEC East title. I don't think many people thought they had enough talent to do that, but I think that they thought this team had enough talent to at least challenge towards the top of the SEC East, mostly because the SEC East is and was so down. So I think this is a team that people expected to win 8 or 9 games and, finish in the top 3 of the SEC East. But, I mean, at this point, they're on a 4-game losing streak. They're 4-5 and 1-5 in the SEC. And they really, the offense has just been worse than anybody could ever imagine. They, didn't score a touchdown for 3 whole games and just haven't been able to generate much of anything for the most of the season. So I would say, this team is really going far below people's expectations for it going into the year. They're going to have to really kind of struggle to make a bowl game at this point. It's probably more, unlikely to make a bowl than likely right now.
Wow, okay. I mean, you brought up the offensive production. When I was looking at stats and different things preparing for the interview, two things popped out to me is that Mizzou's running with the freshman quarterback. Is it coming down to the battle of the trenches? Is the Mizzou offensive line just not holding their own?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. And, the thing about the offensive line is everybody kind of expected that to be a strength coming into the season because they had 5 seniors coming back, all with starting experience, 2 of which were 3- and 4-year starters in Connor McGovern and Evan Bain. Everybody kind of thought that, the pass game might struggle because there were a lot of young receivers, but everybody expected the run game to be really healthy because of, the senior offensive line plus Russell Hansborough, who was a 1,000-yard rusher coming back from last year. But it just hasn't been that way this year. And, it's been very, very interesting because it seems like whenever the offensive line starts getting better in run blocking, the pass protection falters. And whenever they start getting better in pass protection, the run blocking falters. Against Mississippi State last week, they probably had their best game rushing the ball all season, but they also gave up 5 sacks, and they couldn't beat Drew Locke, that freshman quarterback, clean. It's just been a very inconsistent year for the offense, and it really does kind of start with the offensive line because, if they have breakdowns up front, if they're getting beaten up front, which they have been consistently this year, then nothing else really has worked.
Yeah, it was interesting even more so with that Mississippi State game is I saw that it was Ish Witter and Tyler Hunt who had the most yards. Where was Russell Hansborough last week?
He was playing. That was probably – the stats might not really bear it out, but that was probably the best that Russell Hansborough has looked all season because, he got hurt on literally his first carry of the season. He got rolled up on the sideline and got a high ankle sprain that kind of lingered the entire year and pretty much ruined his senior season. But, he looks consistently the best he has all year. I think he ran 16 times for 62 yards or something like that. Ish Witter looked really good, too. They kind of used him the plan going into the year was to use him as a change of pace option, but he had to become their feature back for most of the year because of Russell Hansborough's injury. He looked really good. That was probably his second best game of the year because he ran for 98 yards against South Carolina earlier in the season. And then Tyler Hunt's been basically just a third down back for them lately. He's a former walk-on who is a pretty good pass catcher and breaks a lot of tackles. And I mean, 72 of those 85 yards came on one run that came from, you know, Missouri's own 1 yard line, in which he kind of got stood up right past the line, but then spun off a tackle and ran for 72 yards to the other end of the field. So, I mean, he's been, they've used him only sparingly this year, but he's been very explosive in those touches. I mean, he only has, 5 catches and 20 rushes on the year, but he has accounted for all 4 of Missouri's longest plays from scrimmage. So, I mean, he's kind of a, you know, every once in a while option, whereas Witter and Hansbrough are more every down back.
Okay. I mean, how has Drew Lock looked as a freshman quarterback coming in this year? I mean, obviously the team's had times, tough times scoring, but has he looked overall looked well?
Well, he's been put into a really tough situation because, I mean, going into the year, he was just expecting to play a series or two a game in support of Matty Mock and kind of get his feet wet and everything. And then all of a sudden, 4 games into the season, you know, Matty Mock gets suspended and it's Drew Lock's team. And I mean, he looked really good in his first start against South Carolina. They had a kind of a simple, short, quick passing game plan drawn up for him. He was very efficient, threw for 2 touchdowns and completed 75% of the passes. But since then, it's just kind of been a mess. I mean, the receivers aren't getting open as well. The line's not blocking as well. And even, I think, kind of the shifts and the losses are starting to take an effect on his confidence a little bit because he's not nearly as accurate as he was against South Carolina or even early in the season when he would get in for spot duty. So, I mean, I still think he's, you know, acquitting himself pretty well given all the other mitigating factors that have gone into it this year, being a true freshman, getting thrust into the spotlight unexpectedly and playing behind the line, it's just been pretty subpar the entire year. But I mean, you can see it's starting to wear on him a little bit. He's not really the same quarterback that he was earlier in the season as far as, you know, I guess confidence and just kind of poise and things like that. Cause I mean, the way he looked earlier in the year and the way he looked against South Carolina, it seemed like he could be, you know, something pretty special really early in his career.
Okay, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that develops because, I mean, he's a freshman. I believe Ishwood Witter is a sophomore. So there's some young playmakers on this Missouri team for the future. But the one thing that's been consistent throughout the year is the Mizzou defense, outside of last week, really hasn't allowed more than, I believe, 21 points in a game. What is it about this Mizzou defense that has just been able to lock down on all their opponents?
Well, I think it all starts in the front 7. I mean, across the defensive line, that was a big question mark coming into the year because it's something that Missouri is known for, and yet they lost both of their starting defensive ends to the draft, and then their best defensive tackle, Harold Brantley, got into a serious car accident over the summer, and he was lost for the year. So the question was kind of, how are they going to get that same pressure with all these redshirt freshmen, true freshmen, and sophomores that have barely ever played? And they've been able to do it. I mean, they've had guys step up both of their ends. Charles Harris is one of the nation's leading tackles for loss guys, and Walter Brady's had a really good redshirt freshman year. And then in the middle, you know, they got a true freshman named Terry Beckner Jr. It's really kind of stepped up production. So, I mean, the line has really not missed a step from last season, even though, you know, they lost so much off of last year's team. And they're getting really good play from the linebackers as well. I mean, Kentrell Brothers is the nation's leading tackler. And it's not like, it's by a wide margin. And it's not like he's getting kind of garbage tackled 15 yards down the field either. I mean, he's doing a good job of reading plays near the line, getting into run gaps and stopping them before they get going too far. So, I mean, the strength comes from the front 7. And, you know, the back 4 had looked pretty good all year until Dak Prescott kind of exposed them against Mississippi State last week. You know, the Bulldogs had some pretty good receivers on the outside who beat them in one-on-one battles quite frequently. So, I mean, it's going to start with the front 7. If they can get pressure on the pocket and if they can force the quarterback to make bad decisions, then the back 4 gets insulated more than they did against Mississippi State last week when Dak Prescott was kind of picking them apart.
Okay, I mean, BYU has needed to score in the upper 20s to 30s to really win a game this year because they're allowing a little over 20 points a game. Do you think that the Mizzou defense can hold them under that amount to prevent them from winning?
Well, I think the Mizzou defense can hold them under that amount. I don't know that the Missouri offense can generate that many points because, you know, like you said in an earlier question, you know, Missouri had given up fewer than 21 points points to every team this year except, you know, Mississippi State last week. And so, I mean, this is a defense that is routinely going to hold teams to 21 to 24 points at most. And I think they can do the same to BYU. I mean, the thing is, Missouri's offense hasn't scored more than 20 points really since, I don't even remember, since the Arkansas State game, the second week of the season, I guess. I mean, it doesn't matter how good the defense they've been playing against, because they just haven't been able to get anything going against anybody. So, I mean, unless the defense is really helping them out and putting them in advantageous field positions with turnovers, or maybe even, you know, chipping in a defensive score of their own, I mean, I don't see Missouri being able to reach 20 points. So if BYU can get up to 21 or 24, I mean, I think that's going to be enough, just because Missouri's offense has, been so poor this year.
Okay, I mean, another topic that I'm sure you've answered plenty of questions about or written about has been all the controversy going around the Mizzou University. I mean, the football team was on strike after their last game. What? How do you feel the players are going to be as far as being focused in this game?
It's going to be very difficult because, I mean, if you're thinking about it practically, I mean, they didn't really miss much of their practice schedule this week. I mean, they missed a short practice session on Sunday while they were on the boycott, and then Monday it ended, but that's usually their day off anyway, and then Tuesday they were back at practice. So if you're talking about just sheer practice time and preparation time, they really didn't miss much, but just the emotional weight of, you know, a 48-hour span in which the entire nation and really world was looking at them because they made that stand and, you know, had a big part in getting the university's two highest ranking officers, you know, out of office, basically, in concert with the protest group that they were working with. I mean, that's kind of take a toll on them. And the fact that, you know, the opinions in the locker room were divided on this, and that, you know, they had to kind of band together behind a cause when maybe everybody wasn't exactly feeling the exact same way about that cause. I mean, that's got to take a toll as well. And just the fact that there's been so much uncertainty and tension around campus this week that they've also had to deal with. I mean, it's going to be really tough for them to just kind of compartmentalize and say, all right, well, that's all over, and now we get to play football. I mean, there's going to be a lingering effect, I would believe. I mean, I guess the question remains is how damaging that effect's going to be comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine trying to stay focused on football with all the news events and everything that's going on around that university. But I was a little surprised at this. Maybe I'm wrong, but BYU is only favored by 5 points. Do you think that's a little too little or too much? And would you give us a prediction for the game?
I think it's probably a little too little. I think also, if I'm not mistaken, the line has kind of grown a little bit since it came out. I think it was first like a 3-point line or something like that, and it's grown a couple points. So I think that, you know, the bettors are pushing it towards more of a BYU win. But I would say it'd probably be difficult for Missouri to stay within a touchdown of BYU in this game, just because, one, like I said earlier, they don't have the offense to keep up with anybody, basically. And two, even though the defense has been keeping them in games, I mean, they're coming off their worst performance this season, and they're also having to deal with all this turmoil that has been shaking the campus all week. So, I mean, I would say that BYU would win. I'd probably put it in the range of like a 24-10 or a 24-13 game or something like that.
Okay, well, David, this is the Torn by Sports lunch break. There are a fair few of BYU fans planning on traveling to Kansas City, hoping that maybe you could give them a recommendation of where to go eat when they land in Kansas City.
Well, Kansas City is, renowned for its barbecue, so I would point them to one of the famous barbecue places in Kansas City. There's Arthur Bryant's, which is my personal favorite. There's Gates, which a lot of people like. And then there's Kansas City Joe's, which used to be called Oklahoma Joe's, but they changed the name recently to Kansas City Joe's. It's actually, like, attached to a gas station. Wouldn't look like it would be a really good barbecue place, but it is. But, I mean, I guess those would probably be the three places I would start. I've been to all three of them, and they're all really good. So if BYU fans like barbecue, they couldn't go wrong with one of those places.
All right. Sounds like some BYU fans are going to get some good barbecue this weekend, and hopefully we'll have a good game. Thanks for coming on with us, David.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.